Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Let's get our Bibles out. Go with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 17th chapter. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a subject called the life of prayer. The life of prayer. You know, I am not one of those guys who is you know, waking up at 5 a.m. and praying for hours, or, you know, just going into dreams and visions and stuff when I pray. I'm one of those guys that has to discipline himself. And I have to set aside time in my day, and I have to discipline, you know, getting up. I have to discipline myself throughout my day to stay in prayer, stay connected to God, because otherwise I'll get distracted, I'll get busy, things will happen. But really, when I take a look at the Word of God, I see that God wants not just a set of prayers or just a time of prayer. God wants us to have a life of prayer. And as we have a life of prayer, there will be a life in our prayers that is imparted to us, and that our prayer life will take on a life of its own. And the more I spend time with God, the better life gets. And that's why it's so important that we do pray. In fact, when you start seeing answers to prayer, you can only just pray more, because you realize, wow, there's power in my prayers. There's things going on when I pray. When you start to feel the presence of God in your prayers, you start to press in because, oh my goodness, God, that's what I've been desiring. That's what I've been wanting. And as you grow in your prayer life, your life of prayer will grow more and more. We see a battle that took place in Exodus, the 17th chapter. Children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And here they are, they're traveling. And as they travel, some things take place. And they're on the road, and they finally come to a place of rest. There in Exodus, the 17th chapter, we pick up the story, verse number 8. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8, it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Now, that's quite a statement, because Amalek was another nation. And they came against the nation of Israel at a place called Rephidim. Rephidim means rest. So here's Israel. They're on a place of rest, and Amalek comes and fights with Israel. Now notice, Amalek is the aggressor here. Israel was just traveling, just on their way to the promised land, and now here comes a fight. Here comes a battle. Don't you know, sometimes you can be going through life, just doing your thing. Maybe you're just taking a rest. Maybe you're kicking back. Maybe you're enjoying life. And all of a sudden, here comes the battle. Let's see what happens. Next verse, verse number 9. "And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.'" This is the same rod that the Lord said, "With this rod I will deliver Israel." Same rod that he stretched out over the seas and they parted. Same rod that he had just struck the rock and water poured out from it. So he says, I know something about God. I know that God is our deliverer. I know that God is our strength. And therefore, you go fight the battle. I'm going up on the hill, and I'm going to oversee with the rod of God in my hand. Don't you know that we have power? That we have the authority and the government of God in our hands. And that should encourage us that anytime things come up, anytime there's a battle that we face, anytime we look at our kids and we go, wait a second, is that just allergies, or is there something more going on there? We have the authority of God to speak in the name of Jesus and to bring God's kingdom here on the earth. Am I talking to anybody tonight? When you take a look at your checkbook and you realize, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Listen, you go to work, and I will stand with the rod of God in my hand, the authority of God, that God is going to take care of my needs. When you look at life and you're saying, life just isn't working out, it's a dredge, and I don't know what's going on, and I just feel apathetic, I feel spiritually sick, I don't feel close to God, I don't even feel like praying. Listen, get a hold of that rod and go up to the mountain, and you win that battle up on the mountain. Come on, somebody. Verse 10, "So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." Verse 11, "So it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." I can almost see it, you know, kind of like a football game. You remember those old goofy cartoons where they had the two teams, and they were battling on the field, you know, and you see the ball kind of just flipping around, stuff like that. I kind of picture Joshua and the children of Israel in blue and Amalek in red, and here they are just, you know, when Moses' hands are up, you know, here comes Joshua and the children of Israel, but then when his hands go down, here comes Amalek and the red team's winning, and they're just kind of battling back and forth, and you can just kind of see, you know, he's holding up his hands, but anybody that's held up their hands for any period of time knows that after a while, it starts to starts to sag, starts to come down, starts to hurt, starts to be pain. You know, I worked construction for a number of years, and you know, anytime we were painting up here, you know, or anytime you're having to screw stuff in or anything up top, man, after a while you just kind of had to sink and kind of rest because this is hard work. See, sometimes we let down in the spirit because we don't have the strength. Like the disciples in the garden where Jesus said, yeah, you know what, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to go after it in our prayers. We have to make sure that we watch and pray lest we fall into temptation and the enemy win the battle. So we got to stay fervent in our prayer time. Look at what it says in verse number 12. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. See, sometimes you need people to come alongside you in prayer. Sometimes you need an Aaron and you need a Hur to lift up your hands, somebody to steady you. And you need them to support you. You need them to bring you back to the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. And you need to be seated, firmly grounded, founded on the rock. See, when you are seated with Christ in heavenly places and you pray from that place of authority and you got people lifting you up, then your hands will be steady till the going down of the sun. Throughout life, you will be able to stand, you'll be able to have those victories. Goes on and it says in verse number 13, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Nissi. That banner was that standard that they would lift up. They would show, some of you guys have seen the Civil War movies like Glory, where they wanted to make sure that their flag was still standing, wanted to make sure that the standard was raised, wanted to make sure that they knew. Maybe you've seen the old war movies where, you know, they came according to their standard and they had these tall poles and up on top they had the different colors and the different insignias. In and of themselves, all they were was just a piece of material and some wood that held something up. But what they symbolized, what they showed forth was a call to battle, was a call to arms. And literally with their standard, if you saw an army coming with a certain standard, you would know the name of the king, you would know the army, you would know how many battles they had fought, you would know the victories that they had won, and you would be considering whether or not you really wanted to go to war against that army because of, look at that standard. I don't know if I want to go up against them. See, in the same way Moses says, here we are, we fought a battle, and Joshua won. Why? Because Moses had the rod of God up on the mountain because he was in the face of God in prayer. And now he says, it's not any other standard. This is not because I was so cool or because the staff was so cool or because Joshua was so cool, but the Lord himself is my banner. I'm going to lift him high. I'm going to lift up his name. I'm going to exalt him, and he's the one that gives us the victory. Today I want to show you what a life of prayer looks like, but also where we find the life in our prayers. See, there's something that takes place when we get into the face of God and we start to pray. We start to add our passion. We start to add our fervency. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or is very effective. And so in our lives, when we pray, we need to add heart, we need to add passion, and we need to add life because then our prayers will start to add life to us. Are you listening tonight? Life of prayer, number one, is in its consistency. In its consistency. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5. We were there this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Great section of Scripture. But the life of prayer is in its consistency. You remember Moses was on the rock. That rock showed stability. It showed steadfastness. It was steady. It was solid. That rock was immovable. It wasn't going anywhere. And what did it say? It said that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. See, our prayer life needs to be a life that shows itself in its consistency. We need to pray. Jesus told parables about praying and not giving up, praying and not losing heart, praying and going after it. You remember the widow and the unjust judge? She kept coming day after day after day after day like a dripping faucet. She just kept nagging him. She kept after him. She cried out, when will you give me justice? And finally the unjust judge says, man, my goodness, I'm going to give this woman what she wants unless she weary me by her coming. And Jesus turns around to his disciples and said, hear the parable. Hear what the unjust judge says. Now, this is someone who is unjust. Realize that your God is just, and how much more will he deliver those and provide for those who are his own children? See, God wants to answer your prayers, but you've got to pray, and you've got to pray consistently, and you've got to not give up. Are you listening tonight? Had you turned there with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse number 17, three words that should impact each and every one of our lives, three words that we should memorize, three words that we should print backwards on our forehead so that when we look in the mirror, we can remember them. What does it say? It says, pray without ceasing. Quite plain and simple. Can you remember those three words? Pray without ceasing. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Does that mean that I need to continually pray? Does that mean that I can't go to bed at night? Does that mean that I can't go to work, that I can't talk to my family? No. Obviously, God knows the life that we're living. God knows where we're at. God knows what we're doing. God knows the place that he's put us in. Well, what God is saying is don't give up. Be consistent in your prayers throughout your day. Pray. Take time to pray. But then in the midst of your day, pray. And pray without ceasing. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your prayers. Don't ever cut off the lines of communication. Sometimes people think because I said amen, I hung up the phone on God. That's not how it works, though. Amen simply means so be it here on the earth. Remember one guy in the church said that he would not say amen at the end of his prayer so that he would remember that he kept the line of communication open. Now, see, I believe that we can keep that same heart, that same attitude, just leaving the phone off the hook, right? It's almost like, you ever been butt dialed? You guys know what a butt dial is? That's where somebody puts their phone in their pocket and is still on, and as they're walking, it dials you, right? And then all you hear, you know, you pick up the phone, you say, hello, hello, right? And you start yelling, hello, and then you realize who it is because you hear him talking to somebody else, you know, and you hear kind of like the Charlie Brown parents, wah, 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 wah. Oh, that's Joe. Joe! Joe, can you hear me? Joe, hello! And Joe's just talking, just having a good time, laughing about a joke, and then you hear zip, 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 zip. See, we need to make sure that we continue to keep the phone on with God all day. Keep the lines of communication open. I love scriptures like where Jesus is going about his day. All of a sudden, he's talking to God about something. How about Nehemiah? Here he is. He's about ready to go before the king. He gets called in, and what's he do? He throws up a quick prayer. Lord, give me favor as I go in. See, how much greater would our lives be if when we were about ready to go in to that meeting with the boss and all the bigwigs, if we said, God, give me favor. God, give me the wisdom. Lord, give me the words to say. We go into the break room, and God, give me a witness right now, Lord. Open up a door of utterance that I can speak to my coworkers about Jesus. When we go home, God, just bless our family time. Bless our life together. You know, you're about ready to sit at the table. Don't just pray over the food because that's the thing that Christians are supposed to do. Give thanks. God, thank you for this food. Thank you for the money that provided it. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Thank you, Lord, that it will bless my body for health, strength, and nourishment. May we use that energy to serve you all the days of our life. See, prayer is that communication line with God, and you need to never hang up the phone, even when you go to bed. God, speak to me as I sleep. God, give me dreams, godly dreams, Lord. Speak to me in the night season. God, just show me. God, declare to me. See, prayer is a two-way conversation, not just us talking at God all the time, but us talking with God, where we hear the voice of the Lord. And did you know that your spirit can still hear while you're asleep? God can speak to you in the night. God could visit you. God could give you a vision. My goodness, what can't God do? But we need to make sure that we're consistent. John Bunyan said you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. See, we can go out and do all the work and do everything. We can do anything else after we pray, but we can't do anything until we've prayed. Oswald Chambers said, get into the habit of dealing with God about everything. Unless in the first waking moment of the day you learn to fling the door wide back and let God in, you will work on a wrong level all day. But swing the door wide open and pray to your Father in secret, and every public thing will be stamped with the presence of God. Isn't that great? That's the kind of life I want to live, where my life is just stamped with the presence of God. Come on, can you give the Lord a praise today? First thing, the life of prayer is in its consistency. Second thing, the life of prayer is in its diversity. So you know there's different kinds of prayers? See, Moses, he prayed both standing with his arms up and sitting with his arms held up. And there's different postures of prayer. Now, I'm not only talking about the physical, because you can pray sitting, you can pray kneeling, you can pray standing, you can pray prostrate on the ground, you can pray in the car, you can pray in the shower, you can pray at work, you can pray at home, you can pray in any posture. But above and beyond that, spiritually, there are different types of prayers that we can pray. Let me show this to you in the Bible. If you want, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Once again, we were in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Great verses, but in Ephesians chapter number 6, I want to show you something. See, our position in prayer is in Christ. Therefore, our posture in prayer physically doesn't matter as much as the practice of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, take a look at verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always, there's that consistency. There's that praying without ceasing. Praying always with all prayer. Now notice it doesn't say some prayer or one prayer or the prayer, but it says all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now look up on the overhead. I've highlighted some words. Praying always with all prayer. Supplication in the Spirit. Supplication is what we ask God for. What we're petitioning God for, what we're bringing before the Lord. It's our request, and it's as well our concerns and our cares that we're bringing up before God. And he says, in the Spirit, did you know that you can pray in your understanding as well as pray in your spirit? God's given us a prayer language. Those of us that have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that they shall speak with new tongues. And the Apostle Paul says, if I pray in the Spirit, then, you know, my spirit is edified. I build up my spirit man. You can pray in the Spirit. And he says, being watchful. Did you know that you can watch after things in prayer? You can look after things in prayer? That God, you know what? This is just concerning me. God, I don't know what it is about this. But God, I'm bringing it up before you right now. God, just show me what it is you want me to do with that. Sometimes you'll know things by the Spirit. My wife is notorious for saying, Dan, I don't know about that person. And I said, well, what about him? I don't know. And I said, well, let's pray. You know, let's just commit it to the Lord. And we'll pray about it. And oftentimes something will be revealed later on. And that's why we were praying. See, that's why we were praying, honey. That's what's going on. We see now why that was happening. See, you can be watchful. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your life, pray for your relationship with God, pray for world events, pray for others, pray for the church, pray for the saints, pray for blessings, pray for your finances, pray for your job, pray for wisdom, pray. Like the modern-day prophet MC Hammer said, we need to pray just to make it today. You ever heard of the Axe Method? Some people like the Cats Method or the Axe Method. Anybody learn that other than me growing up? Okay, must have been just a couple of you guys maybe? Or are you scratching your head? Okay, nobody's ever heard of that. All right, praise God. Oh, thanks, Bob. Appreciate the attaboy there. Yeah, Axe and Cats. Confession, adoration, thanksgiving, supplication. Little way to remember. If you need help starting your prayers, you might start with confession. God, I confess my sin before you. Then adoration. Lord, you're awesome. God, you're wonderful. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for everything, God. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for air. Thank you for beauty. Thank you for grace. Thank you for goodness. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And then supplication. God, I'm just bringing this up before you. Now, some people like the Acts method. They do adoration first, then confession, then thanksgiving, then supplication. But don't limit it to that. Look at our Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. See, there's that adoration. God, you're awesome. God, you're holy. God, you're wonderful. God, you're everything. And just worship the Lord. And then he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray that prayer of submission. God, not my will, but yours be done. God, not my kingdom be built. God, your kingdom be built. Not my authority or my government. God, your will, your way. Give us this day our daily bread. See, there's the supplication. God, what we need for life, God, give it to us. Give it to us through your word. Give it to us through the knowledge of God. Open the eyes of my understanding, Lord. Let me hear what it is that you're speaking to me today, God. And forgive us of our sins. See, there's that confession. God, forgive me. As we also forgive those who have sinned against us. Now you're coming in line with the will and the way of God and releasing the forgiveness that God in Christ forgave you with. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. See, Jesus modeled in his prayer the different types of prayer. And you can see it all throughout the Bible, all kinds of prayers. The Apostle Paul had prayers for the church, prayers for the saints, prayers for spiritual understanding, prayers for prosperity, prayers for wisdom. You can pray through the Proverbs. You can pray through the Psalms. You can pray throughout the Bible. Find yourself a scripture, a promise, and pray. It's good. We need to pray. We need to lift each other up. We need to lift up the saints. I like a little story that I read today. Came from a sermon titled The Story of the Iron Gate by Clarence J. Forsberg. Okay, hopefully I said that right. And he says this, many years ago, Bishop McConnell told a story of something that happened in a little fishing village on the New England coast. One winter's day, a storm came up, and suddenly while boats were out at sea, the men rowed desperately to reach the safety of the harbor. Everybody made it except for one old man named John. He had almost reached the mouth of the harbor when a great wave came along and dashed his tiny boat up against a rock. He managed to pull himself up on a tiny ledge and hang there for dear life. His friends saw what happened. There wasn't anything they could do about it. It was growing dark and the seas were high. All they could do was wait. They built a bonfire on the shore and kept it burning all night. Every once in a while, someone would throw his cap up in the air, hoping that the old man would see it. At last, dawn began to break and the winds began to die down. They put out their boats and were able to get close enough so they could bring him safely back to the shore. When the old man had been warmed by the fire and had been given something to eat, they asked, "What was it like out there?" "Well," he said, "it was the longest night of my life. I made it out pretty well at first, but then a big wave came along and flattened me out and I felt myself slipping. I was worn out. I was ready to give up. My old father went down at sea and I had decided my time has come. But just as I was ready to let go, I looked through the darkness and saw somebody's cap going up in the air. I said to myself, if somebody who cares enough about old John to stay out on a night like this, I guess I'm not going to quit yet. Just then, the wind seemed to ease up, and I got a fresh hold, and well, here I am." See, maybe in this place tonight, you didn't know someone's praying for you. Maybe in this place tonight, you came in and you're discouraged. But I'm here to tell you, church, you have people here in this church that love you and that are praying for you. We have teams that pray all day just for you. If you ever send in a prayer need to the church, we've got the prayer cards out there that tonight, if you have a prayer request, just write down your prayer on that card and drop it there in the wooden box there. And teams of people, hundreds of people from the Rock will be praying for you. Your pastors will be praying for you, be lifting you up. If you ever call the front offices, dial zero and say, "I have a prayer request. Can you just get people praying for me?" We will be praying for you. Email us, email@rockchurch.com, and you can just type your prayer request, and we will make sure that it gets on the prayer list, and we'll be lifting you up. See, what happens is you may be dashed against a rock. The waves may have risen high, and you don't know how you're going to make it, and you feel your fingers slipping off. But listen, there is a church that's throwing their cap up in the air, and we're lifting you up, believing God, sending up all kinds of prayers on your behalf. Make sure that we pray with consistency, but also that we pray in diversity. Next thing for tonight is the life of prayer is in its ability. Not only its consistency and its diversity, but also the life of prayer is in its ability. Turn with me to John the 15th chapter. John the 15th chapter. The life of prayer is in its ability. See, what we pray about in private will be seen in public. We talked about that there will be that stamp, that mark of God on our lives, knowing that we spent time with Jesus. Mary, the Queen of Scotland, said, "I fear John Knox's prayers more than any army of 10,000 men." John Knox was an evangelist and a pastor, and he did great and wonderful things in Scotland. And for the Queen to say, "I fear his prayers more than the armies of my enemies," that's quite a statement. But that shows the power of prayer. Again, Sidlow Baxter said, "Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers." Now listen, let me ask you something. Can you go into the White House and get a hold of the president right now? Can you call him up? Can you go walk into his private chamber? Can you get into the Oval Office tomorrow? No. Well, unless you're that guy that ran up and just opened the door and walked in. But no, we can't. We cannot get in to see the president because they probably put a lock on the door by now, hopefully. But see, in the natural, it's not going to happen. We're here in California. That's all the way over there on the East Coast. And we cannot get an audience with the president. You can't walk in and just say, "Mr. President, I need you to do something. I need you to change your mind. I need you to put this law through. I need you to repeal this." See, we can't do that. We can't get in. We can't even get in to see the governor of our state. I'd say you'd have a hard time probably getting to see the mayor of San Bernardino or of one of the surrounding communities. You probably have to set up an appointment. It's probably very busy, things going on. You might have to wait a while in order to get in. But I'm here to tell you that you have been given access and entrance to Almighty God into his private chamber. And now you can approach the throne of grace and find help to help in a time of need. And therefore, your prayers can literally go into the mayor's office. They can literally go into the governor's office. They can go all the way to the East Coast, into the Oval Office, and they can cause change because the Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it like a water course wherever he desires. See, your prayers have more power than you realize. Like the church that was praying for Peter. Here's Peter locked up. Herod's going to kill him. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the doors swing open. He stands up. The chains fall off. He's led by an angel out of the place. The door comes open on its own accord, and he walks out. And it's not until he gets out in the street that he realizes, this is real. I'm not dreaming. And he goes to the house where the saints are praying. He knocks on the door, and a lady comes up and answers the door. And she realizes, it's Peter. And she gets so excited, she leaves him there at the door. She runs back and she tells everybody praying, hey, Peter's outside. Guys, it worked. We prayed. And he's released. And they said, no, it's just a ghost. He's probably dead. And how many of us are like that? I know. Can I be honest with you guys? There's times where I prayed and I felt like, oh, if anything happens, it's probably just a ghost. It's probably just a phantom. Probably just, yeah. But finally, the girl said, okay, listen, you guys, come on, he's at the door. Let me go show you. She goes back to the door, opens it up, and there's Peter, and they all rejoice. Well, listen, our prayers have more power than we know. Sometimes our prayers that we don't even believe as much as we should have more power than we know, because all it takes is faith as a mustard seed. All it takes is obedience to God's will. All it takes is God's word. I had an instructor in my Bible class that I went to. He was talking about doing a hospital visit, and the situation looked grim. There was a guy who was hooked up to every kind of device you could think of, had tubes going in everywhere. And he just walked in and he thought, this guy's dead. And he went in to pray and he looked at the family and said, okay, let's pray. And he laid his hands on that guy and he said, in the name of Jesus. And the guy went, and stood up in the bed right then and there. Now see, after a prayer like that, it's almost like, you know, our prayers have more power than we even know. And so we need to pray. Why? Because our prayers have ability. You have the power of God on your side, and all you got to do to tap into it is just ask the Father. All you got to do is tap into the presence of God. You there in John chapter 15? John chapter 15, look at verse number 7, great verse. Jesus is speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, this is the words of Christ in red. And look at what he says, if you abide in me, if you live, stay, and dwell where? In me. And my words abide in you. There is the rod of God in your hand. If you have the word of God, you have the authority and the government and the kingdom of God at your disposal. If you abide in me, you're in Christ, and my words abide in you, look at what he says. You will ask what you desire. Now notice your desires are coming from the inward part of you. So if the word of God is in you and you're asking according to your desire, most likely what you're asking about lines up with the will and the word of God. That's good because that's a prayer God can answer every time. You never have to wonder. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14 and 15. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we've asked of him. So if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. And look at what the last part of it says. And it shall be done for you. See, we complicate prayer too much sometimes. Am I in Christ? Yes. Do I have the word of God? Yes. Then ask, and it's going to happen. It's just that simple when it comes to prayer. Don't complicate it. You don't have to spit and yell. Don't have to make long prayers. Jesus said, I don't want idle babblings. I don't want, you know, oh, dear Father God, hallowed. You know, you don't have to go into the old King James speak in order for God to hear you. He speaks plain English. Prayer is just talking to God. Just like a child asking their father for something. God is your Father in heaven. And he wants to give good gifts to his children. But you got to ask. Life of prayer is in its ability. Last one for tonight. The life of prayer is given in a name. The life of prayer is given in a name. Remember Moses, after the victory, called the name of the altar that he built, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi. There was a name that was given. Our prayers are offered up to God, and they are signed, sealed, and delivered with the name that we lift up. His banner, that name, is the name of Jesus. And as we lift him high and as we pray in his name, then we have the things that we've asked of him. Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, you will ask me nothing on that day, but you will go to the Father and ask in my name, and I will give it to you that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In fact, turn with me, you're there in John 15. Turn back to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And in John 14, verse 13 and 14, it says this, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look at verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now listen, God is not a slot machine. You put in your prayer, you put in your coin, and you pull the lever, and then the candy comes out. That's not God, okay? But what is God saying? If you ask anything in my name, if you hold up the rod of God, if you have the authority of God's word and a desire for the word and the will and the way of God, then you can ask anything. Anything you can find in here, you can ask for. You know, you can ask for a godly marriage. You can ask for blessing. You can ask for prosperity. You can ask for financial wealth and resource. You can ask for good works. You can ask for words. You can ask for the Spirit. You can ask for grace. You can ask for favor. You can ask for wisdom. You can ask for relationship help. You can ask for healing. You can ask for all kinds of things. If you can find it in the Word, you can ask for it. And Jesus says, whatever you ask, I'll do it. But ask in my name. Ask in the authority and in the power of the name of Jesus. That's how we pray. Remember, I was praying with my kids one night, and we were all praying around, you know, and everybody's doing their nightly prayers, and I prayed, and I said, amen. My son stopped me and said, Daddy, no. I said, what do you mean, no? He says, you didn't say in Jesus' name, amen. And I said, oh, well, why do we do that, son? And he looked at me, and I kid you not, out of the mouth of babes, he says, Jesus' name is the key that unlocks the answers to our prayers. I said, man, our children ministry have been teaching you something, boy. Hello. But how awesome is that? Jesus' name is the key that unlocks the answers to our prayers. And when we go to the Father and we ask in Jesus' name, now we have the authority of the Word of God on our behalf that we can ask, and we know that if we can find it in the Word, whatever it is, that we will have those things that we asked of Him. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, I'll just put it up on the overheads for you. Very interesting. When a young David, probably a teenager, was going up against the giant Goliath. Remember what he said? You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you, how? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Listen, if the devil comes knocking, circumstances, situations come and try you, they come, the pressures of life come, lack, need, suffering, whatever it is, sickness, despair, depression, you come up and you say, you may come to me with depression. You may come to me with sickness. You may come to me with poverty and lack and need, want. You may come to me with temptation and trial. Oh, but listen, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Jesus is his name. He is the Almighty God, the everlasting. And the Lord is my banner. And in Jesus' name, I receive the promises of God. Can you say amen tonight? So be it here on the earth. Hallelujah. God good. Let's get the praise and worship team up here tonight. And I want to pray. Anybody want to pray? Come on, let's pray. Let's believe God for some things tonight. And let's just get into a spirit of prayer. And we're going to pray, and we're going to unlock. We're going to pray consistently. Listen, prayer is not going to just stop tonight. As you get home, as you drive home in your car, be praying. As you put your kids to bed tonight, pray with your children if you don't already. As you wake up in the morning, man, say a prayer. If all you got time is for a quick prayer, pray that quick prayer. And then when you have more time during the day, pray. Why not? Get into the presence of God and start to ask God. And let's believe God for great things. Let's pray in diversity. Pray all different kinds of prayers. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in your knowledge. Pray about things. Pray the Acts or the Confession or the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is, pray those different models of prayer, different types of prayer, supplications and thanksgivings and all kinds of things going up before the Lord. Let's pray in the ability of God, in Jesus' name that he gives us, in the power of Almighty God. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small, but God wants to answer prayers. He's a good God who gives good gifts to his children. Amen? Hallelujah. Tonight we're just going to pray as the team. Just play something, team. I don't know what you're going to play, but it's going to be good. Praise God. And let's do this. Maybe you want to adjust your posture tonight as we pray. If you want to stand, if you want to kneel, maybe you want to just sit there in your seat and just get your heart before the Lord. And let's just pray tonight. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we would ask that as we approach your throne, God, that we find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Tonight, Lord, send that help from the sanctuary. God, tonight, send answers to prayers. Like the angel said to Daniel, the moment you opened your mouth to pray, the answer was sent. Even though the answer was delayed, it was already on its way. And so, Father God, we submit ourselves to your timing tonight. Tonight, God, we submit ourselves to your will and to your way. God, we say, not my will, yours be done. Not our kingdom, God. We don't want to build our name or ourselves, God. We want to build your name, lifting up the name of Jesus high tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's do this. Let's pray for those that need a job. If you're in need of a job, just maybe lift up a hand or stand, okay? If you're in need of a job, all right? Look around, church. Look around. If you see the people that are in need of a job right now, just keep your hand up if you're in need of a job, all right? And just stretch a hand out towards these. If you can actually get a hand on their shoulder or on their arm or something appropriate, you know, just touch them. That's that point of contact. Let's lift each other up. Let's throw the hat up, all right? Father, we just pray for our brothers and sisters who have their hands raised right now for a job. God, we pray, Lord, that you would provide, that you would bless them, Lord, with a job that supplies for all their needs, God. We thank you, Lord, for the right employer, God, for the right pay. We thank you for the right hours, God, the right distance from home, God. We pray, Father God, for the right schedule so that they can continue to come to church and to serve and to sit and hear your word, God. We pray for favor with the employers, God, that you open doors no man can close and you close doors no man can open, God. We thank you, Lord, that as they beat the street, God, and as they fill out applications, God, whether it be online or in person, God, that their application goes to the top of the pile, God. We thank you, Lord, that there's just supernatural God appointments, divine appointments, Lord, that where they couldn't have gotten to see the manager, Lord, you move the heart of that manager. You use the heart of that supervisor, God. You give them favor as they speak. Give them the words to speak, Lord. Though they may be nervous, God, we thank you, Lord, that there's grace on them to talk about why they're going to be the best person for the job. And as they get that job, may they excel and outwork and outperform everybody else on that job. And may they raise up in the ranks, Father God. And just like Joseph, even though that job may have looked like a prison or a drudge, Father, may they elevate to the highest rank, God. And we thank you, Father God, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray for, just yesterday we had our marrieds event. And if you're married in the place, just raise your hand. Good marriage, struggling marriage, doesn't matter. I want to pray for your marriage tonight. Because a good marriage can always get better. Isn't that true? Praise God. So all the married people, all the single people, just let's pray for the married people right now, okay? And married people, pray for one another. Pray for your spouse right now. If you have the ability to pray in your prayer language or you want to pray along in your understanding, you're welcome to do that. But let's pray. Father, we just pray for marriages tonight, God. We pray, Lord, that you do a great and mighty, wonderful work in this place, God. We thank you, Father God, that you move on marriages, God, and touch these marriages, Lord, those that are going through a rough patch, God. We thank you, Lord, that you bring forgiveness, that you bring healing, God, that you bring restoration. God, we thank you, Lord, that you touch and encourage each life, God. Touch and encourage every heart, God. They have become one, Lord. Teach us how to do marriage according to your word, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we grow in knowledge and that we dwell with one another with understanding, God. Long-suffering and loving and kind and gracious, God. That we would model 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to one another and to our families, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that these good marriages get stronger and stronger as well, Lord. We grow in your grace in our marriages, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just sing the chorus of this song. And as we do, we're going to just wait on the Lord. And I know there's going to be some more prayer topics. So let's sing that. Come on, sing it out.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to me.
Sing that again. Here I am.
Here I am to worship. and here I am to bow down, and here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to me.
Let's do this. I'm going to ask Dr. Becker, would you grab that mic over there? And I'm going to ask Dr. Becker to pray for the singles. We had the singles meeting as well yesterday, and they had a good time, but let's just lift them up. Dr. B, go ahead and pray as you're led. And let's, single people, just lift up your hands. We want to pray for you guys, all right? Pray that God just leads you.
Father, thank you that we can lift up every single person in this house tonight. Lord, they're part of your family. We thank you that you watch over them. Some of them are single parents. And Lord, I pray for extra grace for each and every one of them. I pray for extra strength for each and every one of them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you also watch over them, Father, when temptations come against them. Thank you, Lord, for protection around their minds, Lord, every day that they know that you watch over them, that they stay strong in the things of God, Lord, that they stay strong in your house, Lord. And if they are looking for a spouse, that they'll find a spouse right here in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for them and you are their provider. They're looking to you and nowhere else, Father. Thank you for providing for them like only you can provide for them, Lord. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for great, strong singles in this house. For those that want to stay single, bless them, Lord, so that they can still do the work of the ministry as single people, Lord. Just like Paul said, sometimes people just want to stay single. So bless them. Those that want to put their hand to the plow as single people, bless them. Help them to stay strong and to be able to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together. Altogether worthy and altogether wonderful to me.
Father, we lift up those that are struggling right now with addictions and bondages. We pray for freedom in this house. All the extended families or even people sitting in the seats. Lord, you are the God that restores and you're the God that frees. Lord, you break addictions and bondages with your word. So we bring freedom in this house tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you're the victorious warrior. You're the one that can make miraculous happen. You're the one that could set people free. So I pray, Father, for the family members, extended family members that are struggling, Father God, even right now, as we speak. It's shredding the families. It's disappointing family members. We lift them up to you tonight, Lord, that they would be healed, that they'd be whole, body, mind, and spirit, Lord, that you would break them free, Father God, with an understanding of who you are, because you're the freedom fighter. You're the one that came to break, Father God, the bondages off every human being. You came to set the captive free. So set the captive free tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you cover this house. You cover the extended families. You cover our children. You cover our uncles, our aunties, our grandpas and grandmas. You cover them, those that are struggling, Father God, with mental strongholds, with broken hearts. We thank you, Father God, that there's victory tonight in this prayer, Father God, that there would be liberty, that there would be freedom, and there would be joy restored. Father God, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful.
Father God, your word says that if we ask of you, that you would give us the nations as our inheritance, Lord. So we ask for the nations, Father. It's a promise you've written in your word. So we're just confessing something you already desire for us, Lord. This nation was built by so many nations, Lord God. So we pray that as many nations represented in the U.S. and around the world, Lord God, may your gospel go through it in every language, in every way possible, Lord God. Make a way, Father. Give us a heart for the world, Lord God. Give us a desire, just like our name says, World Outreach Center. Lord, we pray for the world. We pray for your gospel to spread across the world. That was your desire, Lord. And we're now agreeing with your heart today, Father, that us in San Bernardino are asking that the gospel continue to go global in every area possible. Lord, we also ask for the languages and nations represented in the U.S. May the gospel be preached in every language represented in this country. Lord, there's people that are in this nation have never heard the gospel because they don't even know English. They're here. God, we ask that the gospel be preached to them whichever way, Lord, reach them today, Father God. I ask that you burst our bubble of our own personal world into your entire world because that is your desire today, Lord God. And I ask that you give us the nations as our inheritance, Lord God, from every language, every tribe, every tongue. That is what would be spoken in heaven because that is written in the book of Revelation, Lord. So we ask today when we stand in heaven, Lord God, every nation be represented, every people be represented, every person, color, and tribe, and nation be there, Lord God, worshiping you for you are worthy of it. We ask that you would absolutely expand the gospel in every aspect by the power of the name of Jesus. We ask today. Amen. Amen.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether
worthy. Stand and worship the Lord tonight. Stand to your feet. Come on, let's sing this out. Here I am.
Here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down, and here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to me.
Hallelujah. Come on, is God good? Let's praise the Lord tonight. Glory to God.
Woo. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.